This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome. It is Meera Sivasuthi. The special needs community is often neglected and rendered invisible to the public because they are segregated early on in our education system, restricting their potential and hindering their integration into society. But as inclusive models of education gain more acceptance in Malaysia, will it improve the plight and well-being of this often marginalised sector of the population? Well, to explore this with me today are Rebecca Jane Thomas and Vanaja Dhanan, both of Raise Voice. And of course, in the studio with me as well is Alex Ng, who is a clinical psychologist and a counsellor. Welcome, all of you. How are you today?
Fine, good.
Thank you.
Ladies, I just want to go through with you. You want to just refresh my memory as to what Raise Voice really is all about?
Okay, I'll take that one. We started off 3 years ago, a motley crew of volunteers.
I think I had you on then, isn't it?
Yes, you did 2 years ago.
Two years ago.
This is our third year now. And the best thing is we have now registered ourselves as an NGO. And this workshop that's coming up is a real classic case for us because it's something that we have always wanted to do, moving away from the walks that we have been doing annually. Yeah, Rebecca, you want to tell us
The objective of setting up Raise Voice?
Okay, I think Raise Voice, we wanted to get more deeper into the world of the special needs. And we have been only focusing on the walks, the silent walk in the night for the past 2 years, even the third year, we had it last year. And we said, okay, why not we do something further, go for deeper? Because everywhere we see it's about special needs, special education, why not we play a major role? And getting registered was one of the crucial thing for us to do in order for us to get help and assisted by many various organizations or NGOs or stakeholders.
You're organizing a workshop on the 23rd of March. Yes. What is that going to be all about?
Now, that workshop is more on, we are working on supportive environment. We're looking at the social interaction between the mainstream students and the special needs student. We're going to team them up as a pair working together, and we're also bringing in the parents. So at the end of this whole program, we are hoping to meet our objectives, that's providing them a supportive environment where KDU, Damansara Jaya, has offered their promise for us to use it. And that was a great thing because getting into a KDU, into an higher learning institution, the ambience of that environment, I felt it was really good for the kids. Mm-hmm. You know, just giving them the feel of that, what it means to be in a college, in a higher institution. We're looking at probably post-education later on. And then the other area we're looking at, positive relationships. Here we are looking at the world of the special need. So the special needs are our importance in this workshop. But what we are asking the mainstream to come in is to provide positive reinforcement, okay, and work in the areas of just be a support. So it is more of the special needs being in control of the whole workshop, and the mainstream students and the mainstream parents are there to give them a hand to make it possible for them to achieve whatever task we're giving them on that day.
Why do you think there's this wall between parents and students of children with special needs and children and parents who are mainstream? Why is there this wall? I mean, why do you need to bring them together? We spoke about inclusive education some time ago, where we hoped, and I think it is in our education blueprint that we'd like to bring about more inclusive education. It's not quite happening at the moment. Would you have any idea why? What's holding either one of the groups back?
Working with children with special needs, actually, Meera, it takes a lot, okay? It takes a lot of energy, takes a lot of patience to meet any given task. Now, currently, I think there are not many of us who are actually trained outside there to work with special needs children. But at the same time, we don't want to see them segregated or, you know, being compartmentalized, put them around a corner. We don't want to just push them and say, hey, you're special needs. You cannot, you know, meet our standards. So don't come near me or don't be with me kind of thing. We don't want that to happen because at the end of the day, the child has... We don't want his or her dignity to be at risk. We want as far as possible to let them be live a normal life, because they all have the right to it. They have a right to that kind of life, and we want to provide this opportunity for them. And many mainstream students do not really understand special needs. What is it actually? They only look at them, he is somebody who cannot achieve, he's a low achiever, either he's stupid or, you know, he's a lost case. This is the things that happen, and we are trying to change this in that one day workshop, trying to integrate them and see and tell them you actually can work with them, and they just need your help. If you can just give them that support.
Alex, psychologically, are children with special needs ready for this, to go into mainstream schools and, you know, dive into the system as it is at the moment?
Yeah, let us look at it. In terms of their emotions, actually, they are ready. I mean, they are just like normal people. They got feelings. They feel sad. They feel angry. They feel happy as well. But the issue is the abilities. A lot of people, we try to put them together, but the thing is whether we understand their abilities or not, that's another issue. So in order to put them together, actually, like what Rebecca said, that we need a lot of energy to put both parties together, because they are standing at a different perspective and different level of abilities. So partially, and you say the normal people, actually, the normal mainstream children will feel that, hey, I'm capable of doing this, I'm capable of doing that. But the thing is, special needs children actually feel that, oh, perhaps maybe I want, but I can't. That kind of low esteem also so-called bobs them down, so that at least to put them together into a normal society, that is a major challenge.
At the moment as well, children or parents with children with special needs have this understanding that the children need special attention, and hence the reason why they go out looking for special education, as in a very different from mainstream kind of education system. What's wrong with that? Is there anything wrong with that?
You always want something good for your child, right? So it's fair enough for them to seek that. The only thing is, which door to knock on. Mira, I used to run a wellness center, and 9 out of 10 parents who used to come to us, we had dyslexia consultancy, yeah? 9 out of 10 had run around the city, knocking on doors, getting frustrated until they find the right answer. So I feel they lack a guidance. They don't know where to go.
The answer in terms of diagnosis, or is it the answer for education?
Where do you begin? Where to begin? Okay, school system is frustrating. Yeah, teachers don't have the understanding. Teachers don't have the manpower. Okay, if you have a special needs child, you have to have another adult working with the teacher.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, how many schools have that luxury?
Yeah. It is expensive as well. Well, some argue you don't need to. You just need to divert your current resources a little differently. Will that work?
No. Not. I don't think so.
In mainstream education at the moment.
That's why we divide them, the abilities or the behavior issues. You see, a lot of times that parents would think, they are normal, but they're just having some attitude or behavioral problems. But is there any questions that we ask them? What is their abilities as a normal people? So because of that, we stay in the confused situation that we can't give them an actual answer what the kids suffer from.
It makes me wonder, you know, where the problem really lies, because according to us, only 1% of our population has been identified as being special or has special needs. But the World Health Organization actually estimates that the figure is closer to 10%.
Yeah.
Are we not diagnosing enough? Is it awareness? Is it education? Where are we falling short that we only think 1%?
For me, I was in it more on awareness. That's basically what happens, because we are very new with those special need children. And a lot of parents or people surrounding are still very naive, or maybe they lack of knowledge on what type or what categories of the child is. So And to get the people, as a professional people, to make a diagnosis, that also another constraint, which is we don't have enough clinical psychologists.
Yes, that's right.
You know, actually, the latest statistics that we got from the department till the year of 2013, the learning disability was, we only have about 172,000 according to the statistics. But if you're looking at the population now, we are like...
Close to 30 million now?
29.24 million. Mm-hmm. So if that's 1%, so we are missing another half of that number.
That is a lot of people.
Another 100,000 has not been registered as learning disability. So how do we match that 1% to the current population?
So are you saying it is much more than even 1%?
I believe so.
That's what we believe for.
We believe there's much more. We may have lost one generation.
Yeah. We probably have.
We have, yes.
We're discussing special needs education. If you have a question for Rebecca, Vanaja or Alex, send it through 016-201-9000 or tweet BFM Radio.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. If you have just joined us, well, welcome. I'm Meera Sivasuthi. With me, Rebecca Jane Thomas and Vanaja Dhanan, both from Raise Voice. Alex Ng, a clinical psychologist and counsellor, has decided to join us as well. We're discussing special needs education. Raise Voice is actually organising a workshop on March the 23rd. You know, what was interesting is it's a one-day event, and what you plan to do is it's based on the principle of normalisation. Can you explain to me what that really means?
Normalization is bringing, preparing a program. Like in ours, we are just preparing a one-day event that will bring the kids, you know, to as close as possible to a normal environment. Okay, as close as possible. We cannot give you the complete normality, because that's something that we cannot do, because learning disability is something that goes on. It's a lifelong thing. But they have the right. That's what we are trying to tell people, that they have the right to experience and to enjoy a normal environment, a normal setting, people who can come and work with them. They should not be put aside. This is what we are trying to do. We're just giving them that dignity and that thing, and about them feeling that, oh, I am an individual, I have my rights, and people here today are respecting me for that.
Just in one day, though, is that enough to try and establish this?
It's not enough, but Meera, it's a start. And we hope to do many more workshops after this.
Mm-hmm. What's the program going to be like for the day?
Okay, the morning program.
In the morning's program, we're going to divide into two parts. One part is for the children, the normal children, the normal main street children with the special children.
Okay.
So we're going to integrate them together with those activities. So hopefully they can understand each other and they can tolerate with each other. That's a basic.
I think you wouldn't have a problem with the children. You probably have a problem with the parents.
Exactly.
How are you going to, you know, orientate that? And,
the parents.
And, yeah, and get
so
them
with
all
parents,
growing.
Normally I'll start with the talk.
Right.
Yeah, there's a one simple talk, and then slowly put both type of parents together, and then let the parents talk to each other. So by maybe the one thing that I just want to highlight, a lot of parents with special needs children, actually their self-esteem also a bit low.
Mm-hmm.
And when they want to face the public, maybe they won't feel a little bit comfortable. So most of the time they will hide the kids from the public, and then they will just present themselves in the public.
Yep.
So that's why with this workshop, this is what we want to bring those kids out from those cocoon or those isolate place into the normal society
setting.
That's what the normalizations, that what Rebecca mentioned just now.
You know, Alex, I'm sure you meet a lot of parents who have children with special needs.
Yeah.
How do they cope? What are their challenges?
Is it first began, man, it's quite difficult for them to get to know the child having problems, because most of the parents in Malaysia, as well in the world, we hope that our children are the best in the world.
Yep.
That's what the hopes of our parents. But one thing that once there's a complaint or maybe there's some awareness or notice from the parents, the child is a bit different compared to other people, then they start to worry, and then they want people to get to diagnose or maybe get some label what happened to the child.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why just now my colleague would say that they will go around and then to look for a professional in order to get the answer. Yeah. We got a few types of parents. One type of parents will accept it after they know what's the answer, but some of the parents were still in a denial state, mm-hmm. and they will start to argue and they want to find more, and hopefully they get the right wish answer as their wish, in the sense that, oh, I don't want to hear these terms. Can I so-called like get somebody to say that my child is all right, okay? So that kind of parents actually, I mean, for my advice, or maybe perhaps maybe my thought would say, please, it's time to accept and then let's work with it. What's next? Mm-hmm. That is more important rather than just to find somebody to erase the label,
yep.
or so-called to get it right.
But the more you do that, time is running out.
Exactly.
Early it's intervention. Early yes.
Yes.
How
early
important?
Intervention.
How important is early intervention?
Oh, it's very important. Yeah. Really yeah. important.
Don't wait until the child is 14 and 15. Mm. Honestly,
it takes. Then, yes, it takes a lot of work. Just to give you an example, I had a child registered at my center, and for 2 years he was in kindergarten, and he was gone unnoticed, and the parents come from a background where they're not educated and they don't look into this kind of area. So when the child came to me, he was like as though his brain has been actually ripped out of him, you know. He just couldn't do anything. He just couldn't write, he couldn't read, and I said to myself, this is something that, you know, should not have been done to the child. It's 2 years of, you know, kindergarten just wasted like that. Mm-hmm. When I took him back, I took him, and it was a lot of work for me, you know. Really, now he's been with me for 4 months, but it's really a lot of work. Of course, the parents get ticked off, because I said, whatever it is, whether you're having whether you're busy with your job or you're busy with three other children, this boy has been completely neglected. You should have. There must be a way where parents can tell that something is not working right with the child, you know. So early intervention is really very important, and we hope that now that special education, special needs is being always brought into the air, into everywhere, people will start to get attuned to it and go in and, you know, immediately find a way to work with the child at as early as possible.
But don't you think the problem is much, much deeper than that, Alex? As you said, I mean, you said, Rebecca, okay, they were parents who weren't probably aware of these things. But you have perfectly educated people who are in denial as well.
Yeah, you're right.
So it's a problem on a much deeper level.
Yeah.
It's acceptance. How do you encourage people to be, to not be in denial?
You see, I mean, as a parent, and back to the objective, we hope the child had the best in the world. But the thing is, somehow or other, when these sort of things happen, we have to talk about SM, and then we have to think the way how to overcome it. That's one of the issues. And to probably further, what I can say that sometimes a lot of parents come and see me, they want to accept it, but family members are not acceptance. Mm-hmm. Especially when we talk about that, those speech delay child, parents will tell the grandparents will tell the parents that it's okay, last time you also talk at age of 5-6 years old, it's all right, no worry, wait until the day. But actually, modern days, we are no longer want you to wait. That's why it's so important for early interventions, education at this moment.
Watching those milestones is extremely important, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I always let parents to look into those milestones.
Mm-hmm. Parents shouldn't treat it as a stigma. I think that's where the problem is. That's why denial and hiding children and all that, and Raise Voice, like other organizations, want to bring out parents as well as children. You know, come out. Join the community, do things that everybody else is doing. Every child is beautiful at the end of the day.
Yeah, honestly. We understand that some parents have really gone through some bad experiences with their special need child, and bringing them to an environment and reassuring them that it's a safe environment, it will take them some time.
Is it really a safe environment? I don't know. I mean, I would think that you're opening up this child to, you know, bullying, a whole load of other issues, which, you know, I'm not sure if that's the best thing for them.
You see, I mean, put it on that, we cannot deny that part. I mean, being bullied or those things. But the thing is, That's why we need to add on social skill towards those special child,
yes,
so that hopefully
right.
they learn how to so-called like normalize themselves in the society. They have to learn how to defend themselves. They have to learn how to socialize in those like a poor environment or difficult environment. So that one, we call it social skill. They need to be trained on that part.
Right. And so those are some of the benefits if they get into this normalized environment.
Yes,
yeah.
That's
social
right.
skills, what else?
Yes, social skills. I mean, for the workshop, that's what we are really reinforcing. We want these social skills. We are not like... that's why the activities that we are having is just not going to be like books and reading and things like that. No, we're not going to do that. It's going to be more of interacting. It's more of how you're going to cope with the mainstream and how the mainstream is going to cope with them. And then the parents come in and how they're going to work together. So it's a lot of social... Interaction. And even the volunteers that we have, actually, we are having... people from the accounting background, from the lawyer's background, and we hope that, you know, when they come in, also they will get to see what is it really happening and why this, why are we doing this program. So there's our volunteers, some of them actually, this is the first time they're coming to actually see the whole workshop working together. They have never had hands-on experience with special needs, and I think that's very important.
Mm-hmm.
If we have volunteers coming from the mainstream, who are coming from the employer side, and putting and having a hands-on experience with these children, I believe it will make it a little bit better.
Right. And we always focus on the special children, trying to integrate with, you know, mainstream. But then again, we forget that the mainstream children
need to understand
how to, you know, handle this. And I remember my children go to a school that, you know, it's an inclusive system.
Yeah.
So I remember my 14-year-old telling me, "Mom, the 8-year-old came up to me and gave me a hug, and I didn't know what to do."
Yeah.
The 8-year-old was a special child. And I said, just hug him back.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's little things like this that they're not exposed to. They wouldn't be exposed to in a normalized environment, which I think they need to learn as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what the benefit of this workshop.
Yeah.
For everybody.
Yeah.
Parents, we're going to appoint buddies.
Hmm.
Yeah. So as a buddy, you take care of your partner, right?
Nice.
So...
yes.
Okay.
That's one of the things we're doing. We're doing a buddy system as well.
So every child is assigned a special child, and then you work together.
Right.
What about the parents? Are you going to pair up the parents as well?
Yes.
There's afternoon session.
Yeah, the afternoon session. We are going to pair up the parents as well. Yes.
Okay.
So everybody gets a feel of everyone and everything that's happening there.
Right. It's lots going to go on in just one day, isn't it? It's going to be pretty intense, actually. You've not done this before, have you?
No, we have not done this.
This is the first time we're
trying to do it. That's why our group is small. We're not keeping it really big.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, that's the other thing. You have a whole load of other NGOs pretty doing the same thing. Inclusive education is what they're talking about. Everyone's championing their own whatever they believe in, right? I mean, to me, sometimes it's very fragmented. I mean, shouldn't everyone just come together and work together and you know, then you can... It's not much of a strain on one NGO like yourself to do everything on your own. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it really will help if all of us can
come together. It's a dream. It's a nice thing to happen.
That bad, huh? Yeah. But why is it a dream?
To bring it into reality, I think all NGOs have to come together and actually have a day and talk about that.
The issue is because this is a minority compared with the majority situation. So put it that we still need a leader. So we hope that there's a leader to be able to lead everybody together. So this is how we hope. So it's one of the dreams, one of the day.
Really, yeah? I thought, I can help maybe bring all the children. You know, NGOs who champion special needs, the needs of special children, really. I think there's so many of you around. So much can be done if you pool your resources and not, you know, duplicate what everyone else is doing.
That's a smart move, a smart working way.
It would. Yeah. And, you know, I spoke to Dr. Amar Singh from the... what's the organization now?
NECIC.
It's the National Education... Okay, NECIC. And he said that we need to mobilize from the grassroots level up, i.e. he told me straight in my face, we cannot depend on people above initiating this move towards a more inclusive education system.
Yes, you're right.
So I think all the NGOs really need to come together all the more. There is a pressing need indeed. Any other challenges, Alex, that you see in terms of children and parents of special children?
Yeah.
You'd like to bring to light?
Yeah, that's quite a lot. The facilities. We're talking about the facilities, also very important. To put those kids into mainstreams, we also need some facilities of the organization or of the place. It's not that simple. And then putting them, let's say, when a child been diagnosed as autistic, so sometimes they got emotional problems, and how are we going to handle him or her? So that's one of the challenge. If the place is too crowded, put it that you can't help them easily. So we need a place for them to come down, to cool themselves down. So that's why I call it facilities. Mm-hmm. And the space actually is very important when we are talking about education as well. Because when you put them into big crowd, they are a bit slow, so they can't grab the concept easily. So perhaps maybe we have to so-called it, focus them in the small group and then slowly encourage them into big group. So that kind of facilities or environment that we need. So it's part of the challenge as well.
We have a long way to go, don't we?
Yeah, that's why at this workshop we have a few rooms, okay? In one of the rooms we are leaving it for if any of the child needs to be calmed, or need to be taken out for a while. We have a room there, and we can just leave the child there with somebody, and that person will work with the child until the child is ready to come back.
Right.
So we looked into all these areas because special needs children, what they need is an accommodation, where we can accommodate their needs. You know, if we can give that to them, I think they can really do great things.
Is it a lot though? Because every time you talk about that, it seems like there's a lot of money involved. You need a lot of money to set up facilities. But is that really the case?
But is it any different with a normal child? Do we treat our normal child any different?
Mm-hmm.
Do we?
No.
No. So that should answer our question.
Right.
Why are we not treating our special needs
the same way?
Yep. Yes. Why should it be any different?
But I'm just curious. In terms of what sort of facilities are you referring to? You're talking about teaching material? Are you talking about infrastructure, physical infrastructure?
It can be that. Put it up. Some of the kids having sensory integrations or clumsiness of the body, so that start with their writing equipments actually was slightly different compared with the normal kids, and then they need some aids to help them.
Yes, that's right.
Some props to help them. So that's all involved something different.
Mm-hmm.
And then when talk about facility infrastructures, let's say those who are special need with physical issues, the toilets are different. And then the structures of the environment, the space issues, it's totally different.
It is.
It's totally different.
It is different. But not impossible. We have toilets for the disabled.
Yes.
So why
it's
can't
not
we?
Impossible. Can be done. But what is most important is that when you want to reach out to the special needs community, the special needs children, these areas have to be looked in first. Because these are very, very important areas. We cannot just give them a room, a setup like any normal setup. It's not going to work. It's just definitely not going to work. These kids are going to suffer, and some of them suffer in silence.
Yeah.
They really suffer in silence. And if they don't meet up with the expectations, that's it. When they go home, the parents, of course, parents are always looking into results. And we hope that will change, yeah? That we look at the child rather than looking at the results.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are trying to say that the child needs the assistance, needs the help. Just give him some time. He or she will definitely pick it up. But according to his ability or her ability, not to ours.
Which is a big problem as well. A huge problem.
A huge problem.
You see, when we talk about that, in the sense that is the public actually be prepared to accept them? That's one thing, because put it that there's still minority populations. So I got some of the comments that they are just a minority populations. Why we need to focus on that? Is it we are wasting resources? But put it that they are still one of the humans in our society.
Mm, yep.
We cannot neglect them. We cannot discriminate them from the normal perspective.
I think what we forget is our future generation is going to coexist.
Mm, that's right.
With, you know,
that's
everyone.
What
boils down to tolerance, compassion. Yeah.
Yep. That's why at this workshop we are not categorizing. We're not asking them what type of special needs problem you're having. We're not telling anybody about that. We're just taking the child as the child is. And we are just going to get that going.
Trying to integrate them.
Yes.
Into the same environment.
Without knowing what is happening to the child. No, we're not going to do that.
Okay, fantastic. So if you'd like more information on this workshop, which is happening on the 23rd of March, you can actually call Rebecca herself on 016-220-7091. Where is it going to be held?
KDU, Damansara Jaya.
Okay, what time?
It's from 9 o'clock to 5 p.m.
Fantastic. So 016-220-7091. It was a pleasure having all of you on. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
Rebecca Jane Thomas, Vanaja Dhanan, both of Raise Voice, and Alex Ng, who's a clinical psychologist and counsellor on special needs education. Once again, that workshop on the 23rd of March. Talking to us on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.